It was a dramatic Saturday on day two of the 2023 Ryder Cup.
It's a European point, this is all over. So 9-7 win, I make that, which is astonishing. Utterly, utterly astonishing.
And in from Tommy Fleetwood, an eagle two, set up by the brilliance of McIlroy.
And he's holed it! Max Homer has made an eagle on 16 to close this match.
It's in!
Yells, come on, a couple of fist pumps.
Europe dominated the morning session, including a record match victory in the foursomes. But in the afternoon, the US team fought back. We'll review it all right now on the official Ryder Cup podcast, brought to you by City. Richard Kaufman welcoming you to Marco Simone Golf Club in the Italian capital of Rome, the 44th edition of the Ryder Cup. Alongside me to chew over what's been another fantastic day on Saturday in this duel between Team Europe and Team USA are DP World Tour player Lee Slattery, former European Tour player Robert Lee. Just to give us your overall thoughts, first of all, on the day as a whole. Lee, you know, you think you know what the story's going to be, I suppose, and then something else happens.
I mean, they basically did to us what we did to them yesterday afternoon. You know, it looked like we were going to have a strong finish, and they turned it round at the last minute. So, but I think what I do like about this is we could have run away with it today. I mean, it could have been a no-show tomorrow. I mean, it could have been terrible, you know, for the fans. They could have watched literally two matches done. But now, as it's just that little bit tighter, they've kind of just got back into it and they have a chance now. I think for everybody out there, it's a little bit more exciting.
Okay, just to remind you, the overall scoreline right now, Europe 10.5, USA 5.5. In the foursomes this morning, it was Europe 3. USA won. In the afternoon, four balls, it was flipped the other way, as Lee was suggesting there. Europe won, the USA three. Robert, the final match, which we'll go into in some details, that final four ball where Patrick Cantlay came up trumps for Zach Johnson's team, it was almost Poulter-esque at Medina, and also gives us maybe that opportunity for a Medina-like turnaround.
I remember the desperation of the European team Medina on that Saturday night when it was getting dark, and Rory McIlroy birdied one of the last six and Poults birdied five of them. It was a ridiculous finish. And there was a sense, a bit like the Americans have now, that, you know, that might be, you're always looking for, when is this thing going to change? When is it going to start going our way? And that was a feeling for the Europeans that it wasn't all over. And I think the Americans have got that now with the finish that Cantlay put on.
Yeah,
I think they go into. I think there'll be a lot of hubris and hoo-ha in that American team room, and they're going to find ways to give them all the message that this thing is not done and dusted.
It is doable. I think that will be the message from Zach Johnson for sure. Let's wind the clock back a little bit, because the action started on Saturday with the foursomes, where Europe picked up where they left off on day one.
Good morning, everyone. And welcome to the Marco Simone Golf Club and the second day's play in the 2023 Ryder Cup.
Looks like a pretty good line. It doesn't get there. That means with a birdie by Team Europe, Hovland and Albert are four up through four as we move on to the fifth.
Looking very much like Team Europe will enjoy a seven up advantage as they turn.
Max Homa rolls it into the hole. The USA are fighting hard here in this third match. There, two up as we head to the 12th.
Ball is on its way, it's running down towards the flag. It's running down, is it going to get there? Yes, and it does! And Tyrrell Hatton makes birdie in number six and brings Europe to two up for the match.
It's a European point, this is all over. Americans couldn't do anything on this hole, chopping their way up the 11th. They've conceded the hole to the Europeans. So 9-7 win, I make that, which is astonishing. Utterly, utterly astonishing.
It's in! Rory McIlroy punches the air once, twice. That was Rory McIlroy big time. Europe two up again.
And he's holed it! Max Homa has made an eagle! eagle on 16 to close this match 4-2. Some red on the board for the USA.
He's done it.
Of course, Rory McIlroy's done it. Takes his cap off, hugs Tommy Fleetwood. Rory McIlroy has sealed the deal for Team Europe.
Going to get that. And it does. And Tyrrell Hatton drains one. And Europe a three here in 16. And it's missed it. He has missed it. And Europe win this last match.
Well, a reminder, the overnight scoreline was 6.5, 1.5, and after that session, it became 9.5, 2.5, a 7-point lead for Team Europe. Everyone sitting around having their refreshments at lunchtime, getting ready for the afternoon. Four balls lead, we're thinking, well, that was that. It's all over.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, they left Jon Rahm out this afternoon. That, for me, was a big statement. Listen, we're going to go out and play our rookies. We have such a big lead. Let's give them another go. And, you know, I know they've lost the afternoon 3-1, but again, I'll go back to it. You know, they've played all the rookies twice now. And, yeah, incredible.
That foursome session, though, Robert, it felt very similar to how we all felt Friday morning. Mm. Blue on the board immediately. That opening match, which we'll come to in a moment, Rory McIlroy and Tommy Fleetwood, they were up. Immediately, weren't they? Three up through three holes.
The Americans, yeah, this morning, I felt, you get a feeling on the golf course, and I felt they were utterly helpless, bereft of any sort of vivin, feeling that they could do something, and they just looked to be struggling. Wherever I looked, my group or the groups around me, they just looked like they were, as I said it this morning, who are these guys? I went out with Koepka and the world number one, Scotty Scheffler. You got to think that's a strong pairing. That's who they their names on their chest were. That wasn't them. Alien abduction overnight. Something happened. These two carcasses were there, but they were not those players that we see week in, week out. They just looked horrific.
A lot of questions were being asked about that in terms of the US hadn't played very much golf since the Tour Championship, which was 5 weeks ago. Are you one of those in that
massive,
camp?
Massive. I think that's a massive thing. I think the Europeans have come into this cauldron, and that's what it is, the most pressure you'll ever feel as a player with the game still warm. You know, they're not suffering from rust, and the Americans largely having played very little golf. I think that's been this is almost like the three sessions until the last session we saw of them trying to get back to their kind of playing place. And now I think they're in their playing place. So I think tomorrow, expect a strong America.
They could be dangerous, couldn't they? Let's just remind you of the score then in match number one. Rory McIlroy and Tommy Fleetwood. They won in the foursomes at the 17th on day one. It was the same story against the supposedly dynamic duo of Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. A 2-1 victory. Here was Rory McIlroy's immediate reaction after the win.
I think they get more special as you go on because you realize you don't have that many left. Hopefully I still have a few Ryder Cups left in me, but it's been an absolute pleasure to share the golf course with this man beside me over the last couple of days. Last night we talked about enjoying what we did yesterday, but coming out and showing no mercy today, and obviously the way Ludvig and Victor started off and the way we started off, that set the tone for the day again. And another incredible match. We played great there. We held some good putts when we needed to, and delighted to get another point on the board for Europe.
Well, Rory McIlroy mentioned Ludvig and Victor there because, well, it was astonishing. Robert Lee went out and watched that game. Yeah. They beat Scotty Scheffler, the world number one, Brooks Koepka, the five-time major champion.
The toughest guy in the world, the gunslinger.
9 yep. and 7, yep. The biggest win ever in Ryder Cup history in this format. Previous best was a singles win for Tom Kite against Howard Clark, 8-7 in 89. For foursomes, it was in 79, 7-6 for Hale Irwin and Tom Kite. This was unprecedented.
Oh, I couldn't believe what I was watching. But as I sort of spoke about before, these guys just didn't have anything this morning, Rich. They had nothing. And it just felt like whatever they did, they were going to lose the hole. And it was just a succession of mistakes on their part. They lost an early hole. A bogey won the hole. You know, you can't really expect that you're going to make a bogey and win a hole, but that happened for the Europeans. The Americans just didn't have much. And I really thought when I saw them swinging, whoa, Whoa, all that stuff on the first tee, I thought, wow, this is a tough pairing. Scheffler and Koepka, they're going to come out firing and give it to the Europeans today. And it never happened. They were overpowered. 9-7. They didn't know where to look.
An incredible win for the European pair. But Scotty Scheffler at the end, Lee, literally in tears. He must be shell-shocked even now, despite a late fight back from his teammates in the four balls. He's still got to be shell-shocked by that.
Well, I think that's the last thing you want in life, isn't it? That accolade of having the worst ever defeat in a Ryder Cup, especially the world number one, Scotty Scheffler, who's had the most incredible year this year. And I was the same as Rob. I looked at that list this morning, and that was my strongest pairing. I thought these guys are gonna go out, get some red on the board, and they got absolutely smashed. I mean, it was incredible. Something you'll probably never see again, but I think he will be a different Scotty Scheffler tomorrow.
Well, Zach Johnson will be hoping that is the case. But let's hear from Victor Hovland, who himself was surprised by the margin of victory.
We're meeting two strong guys, number one in the world and five-time major champs. We try to not give him anything, and we played really, really solid. Obviously, we didn't meet a sharp Scotty and Brooks, but we played some really nice golf today.
Ludwig, many congratulations. What level of elation are you feeling right now?
I don't even know what to say and where to start, but obviously, unbelievable day. But most important, you know, we enjoyed it, we had fun, and felt the crowd support, which was really important for us. So looking forward to do it all again this afternoon.
Yeah, Ludwig there with the first answer, Victor responding as well. What a win. It'll go down in history. But in match number three, at last, some red on the board. The first US win in this 2023 Ryder Cup as Max Homa and Brian Harman defeated Shane Lowry and Sepp Straka 4-2. I think everyone relieved, Lee, that this pair of Homa and Harman combined two rookies together to bring USA a point.
Absolutely. I mean, I followed them around yesterday morning and they actually played pretty well. They got beat, obviously, because it was 4-0. But they looked good, they looked sharp, but they just did not hole any putts. The biggest surprise to me was Harman not holing any putts in the morning, you know, straight. I missed a lot of 10-foot putts, which is what he does. You know, he holes them all the time. And now it looks like he's found his putting boots. And Homa this afternoon played incredible. I mean, I followed that match round. He was fabulous.
Yeah, Max Homa, one of the standout players of the US team so far. So they avoided the scenario of day one where they were swept in that foursome session. A point on the board, but match number four went to Europe. John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatting defeating Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele 2-1. And with that point on the board, 3-1 in the session, Robert, it just looked, it was too far back now for Team USA.
Look, in every Ryder Cup that we play, there's always at least one turnaround session. It happens somewhere. Someone goes against the grain and makes something happen. We've done it as Europeans. The Americans have done it. And this afternoon, I know everyone was going, oh, this is all over. Everyone was European. Everyone I spoke to saw it's, they're almost doing the victory dance after the morning session this morning. But things can turn very quickly in this. And even though we were super dominant, had a massive lead, that last session has posed a question mark. We now go into the single Sunday with this thing not in the balance, because the Europeans should be able to close this out. But I'm telling you, if the Americans get off to a start, there will be wobbles. There will.
John Rahm needs to produce the kind of golf he produced in the latter stages of that match. An incredible shot at 16, and then an incredible tee shot as well at the par 3 17th. This is how the Spaniard reacted when asked about his tee shot at 17.
I just honestly, I saw it land on the green and I thought it was past it because I hit it so good, and I turned around, I saw Tyrrell's reaction, like, hey John, look, and I didn't realize it was live on the screen and almost saw it go in. Obviously that's what you plan for, but you know, stuff you dream of, to be able to, you know, he makes that putt on 60 and then I hit that shot to put pressure on them. All credit to Patrick to go after that and hit that shot still. You know, it's unprecedented for Xander to miss two putts like that in a row. But, you know, we did a lot of good things today, and I'm glad we closed it out.
They did indeed. John Rahm didn't show in the afternoon, was rested by Luke Donald. More on that in a moment as we move on to the afternoon four balls in a short moment, where the US team really have given themselves a glimmer of hope going into tomorrow's single matches. That's coming up next on the official Ryder Cup podcast, brought to you by Citi. They're not an airline, but their network connects global businesses in nearly 160 local markets with over two centuries of experience. They're not just any bank, they are Citi. More at citi.com/wearecity. On a baking hot Roman afternoon, the Saturday four balls took place with the US team showing some big signs of recovery.
Max Homa settling in birdie putt at the first, creeping up to the hole and creeping into the hole.
Sends the putt forward and holds it. Justin Thomas, nerveless here.
Towards the hole, uphill. He looks pretty good, and it's an eagle for USA. Six up and six to go.
Rose sends the putt forward, waits for the roar. And there it is again.
Oh, and he's missed it again. He's missed it again. Would you believe it?
And in it goes, and America are level in this final match.
And in it goes, and that is a win for the United States.
Made good contact, rolling up to the hole. Oh, it's in! Oh my gosh!
Bingo, bingo. And he punches the air, McIntyre.
He's trying to chop it out of that rough and did it brilliantly. It's in! Oh my! Tommy Fleetwood with a two.
Beautiful Rory McIlroy. He can hit it a long way, but he can stuff it in close with a wedge too.
Hats off, handshakes, and Homa and Harmon have defeated Fleetwood and Højgaard.
Is it forward and it curls into the hole. Justin Rose does it again. Justin Rose with the evening drama.
He's holding, you know. Patrick Cantlie yells, come on, a couple of fist pumps.
And America, right at the death, grabs what could yet prove to be a hugely significant point.
Some reference there to Patrick Cantlie and Wyndham Clark stealing that point at the end against Matt Fitzpatrick and Rory McIlroy. Finally, a session went to Team USA. They needed it big time and they got it. They took the session by 3-1. Lee Snatcher, you were out with the first match of the four balls this afternoon as Sam Burns and Colin Morikawa.
No, I was out with
defeated.
The second match. Sorry.
Were you out with the second one, were you?
Okay.
Well, Sam Burns and Colin Morikawa defeated Victor Hovland and Ludvig Åberger 4-3. I won't ask you about that game then, Lee. I'll ask Robert about that game because you were out with that pairing this morning. They were so dominant. It must be hard, though, to get a win like they had, you know, a record win 9-7. And to go out and try and reproduce that quality of golf.
Yeah, I don't think. I think, you know, you play and it ended up being 9-7. I don't think you try and achieve 9-7. That's not the way it works. It's kind of, you know, one hole at a time, and you try and not outperform yourself. You want to make sure that you don't gift the opposition anything. I know our production team. I know how keen they are and how stat driven they are. My question to them, and it will come flying in, is what was the lead at Whistling Straits for the Americans going into the singles? That's what I want to know.
Well, it was a 19-9 victory in the end.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we hear from Sam Burns first, who immediately after his round reacted by praising his playing partner, Colin Morikawa.
Just an awesome team effort today. I just said earlier, I mean, it's so fun going and playing with a guy like Colin. I mean, he's just... I said every time I play with him, I'm more and more impressed. And today that just continued. He's so fun to play with. He's never out of a hole. Every time I look up, his ball is headed right at the flagstick. And that just gives our team more confidence. And so, you know, we did a good job out there. We knew it was going to be tough. We knew the crowds were going to be against us. And we just kept fighting and glad to put a point on the board for our team.
Well, I wanted to hear that clip. As much time to give me as well to find out what the score was. I scurried through.
Listen, let me tell you, for everyone listening around the world, Richard Kaufman, sexy fingers on that keyboard. It was like a blur of activity. Amazing, Richard. And you've got the answer.
It's a slightly bigger lead than Europe have right now. It was 11-5 as opposed to the 10.5, 5.5 we have right now.
Yeah, so what I was going on to say is it seems like the home draw is such a dominating effect on what happens in a Ryder Cup. It's so hard to go away and win. We've seen with the 30 years, the hiatus for the Americans on European soil has been a bridge too far and probably will be again tomorrow. So what the visiting team have to do is, how on earth do we get past everything that's against you when you get to an away fixture? So for the Europeans, let's say they win tomorrow, the next away fixture, let me tell you, is in New York. We're going to Bethpage Black.
Is it going to be noisy, Robert?
With New York fans, the build-out on those last four holes will be a bit like Le Golf National. You'll see everything in those last four holes, and there'll be a huge... It'll be like you are entering the Coliseum, in effect, that we have here. How the Europeans get past the Americans with that crowd in New York, I don't know, and it seems the pattern is going to continue.
We shall see. First things first, though, let's go back to what's happened this afternoon, these four-ball matches. Now, Lee... I think you went out with match...
I did. I went out with match number two.
Match number two, didn't you? When Tommy Fleetwood, who you've known a long time, out there with Nicolai Højgaard, beaten by what's turned out to be a great partnership now for Team USA. 2 points out of two for them today, Max Homer and Brian Harman. What was the key to that win for the Americans today?
I think early on in that match, they just missed a couple of real key putts. I think Nicolai Højgaard missed a couple of putts on, I think it was 6 and 7. And, you know, they were very makeable putts, and he missed two. And I just look back at that match and I think if they could have just got a couple up early on, you know, it would have been a different story. But it just gave Max Homer and Brian Harman this, you know, you could see it in them. You just thought, you know, they've got this, you know, and they never back down. And Max Homer was sensational. He was sensational all day. He looked brilliant. Anytime they were in a bit of trouble, he would chip in, he'd hold a putt. He actually looked at one point like he was going to hole everything. If he missed a green, I'm like, he's going to chip this in, you know, and he hit that iron shot to 12, and we almost knew he was going to do it. I mean, he had 229 yards into that hole, which is probably a 3 or 4 iron down the hill. Hits it to a foot. And we're thinking, he's going to do that. He was a man possessed this afternoon. He was fabulous. And he would be one of my top three in the singles.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, fantastic performance from probably the standout player so far from Team USA. He had a good partner as well. Let's hear from the two victorious American players then. Brian Harman and Max Homer.
Yeah, we were ready to go. We were very excited to get the nod to play this afternoon after a really good round this morning, so it was fun. Just felt like we got some lunch, hit a couple balls, and then you just got to keep getting after it. So it was a blast to get to do this.
Brian, how good is it to see those two red blocks top of the leaderboard this afternoon session?
Yeah, super happy for those boys to get out in front of us and put one on the board. So super excited to play with Max again this afternoon. We were doing well.
Why do you two work so well together, Max?
We basically have zero things in common about where we're from, but we are the exact same person on the inside. So I very much enjoyed vibing with Brian, watching him play. He is steady Eddie, and it just made me feel like I could just go be myself. And I think that's why we work so well together.
Brian, what's the belief now within Team USA that you can turn this thing around, given those top two matches this afternoon session?
Well, look, we got a deep hole to dig ourselves out of, but we got a really good team. We're excited for tomorrow.
Same thing, Max. Excited, the vibe, the excitement for you to try and push on and turn this thing around.
Yeah, I love this team. I think they're amazing. And every one of us knows we can go out there and get a point tomorrow. So I think that's all that's on our mind.
Yeah, wonderful victory for Brian Harman and Max Homer. There was one European victory in the afternoon, and it came from Justin Rose and Robert McIntyre. They beat Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth 3-2. I think I'm right in saying. Robert, you watched this one.
Yeah, it was a sporty match. McIntyre got a very important point. That was huge for him. There are a lot of Scottish fans out there, you know, willing him on and willing him to do well. He made a couple of key putts and birdies coming down the stretch. And Justin Rose, I said in commentary, you know, when you look at Justin as a golfer, sometimes he looks a bit methodical, a bit manufactured, but what's authentic about Justin Rose is the amount of heart he's got. He has got the heart of a lion. He is so brave. And every time he was asked a question with that putter in his hand, we saw that celebration last night. There were more of those out on that golf course this afternoon. He was sensational.
There was a moment, though, the US with three down, three to play, 16th tee, and they needed something special. And Jordan Spieth's on the tee with a driver, and Zach Johnson stops him in his tracks, talks to him, and makes him change from the driver to the three wood. Now, if the US lose on Sunday in the singles, this is going to be a moment, I think, that Zach Johnson's not going to look back too fondly on, because the tee shot then ended up in the water.
They were already so slow. We were walking around for the... It's hot out there. It's up and down Dale. And they were taking an eternity. Bones and his man, Justin Thomas, were backwards and forwards. The chat over each shot was just... It was deadly. And then, you know, the captain intervenes, as he's entitled to, if he thinks there's some sort of tactical thing that they're missing. But, you know, you're three down with three to play. You take the driver and try and just rip it in the middle of the green. It was a driver at that time, because it was really into a strong breeze from that high tee. It wasn't Rory knocked three wood on, but not everyone's Rory. It was a driver. So why he didn't let him just pile away with the driver and look for some sort of, you know, knock it on the green, hole a 50-footer. Something could happen. You can't do it from the water.
Yeah.
You can double-guess everything, Richard. You can double-guess everything.
Yeah, just not what you want in
your
There's
no ear, flow is there, is there? There's no flow. It just everything took too long, and they seem to play that way as well.
Okay, but let's come then to the final match of the day, which turned out to be the thriller in the Roman Sunshine on Saturday at this Ryder Cup. It was between Matt Fitzpatrick alongside Rory McIlroy against Patrick Cantlay and Wyndham Clark. Now, not much happened early on in the match. Europe won the third. The American pair won the 11th. It was all tied up, all square after 13 holes. Then Rory McIlroy made a great birdie at 14, and Europe remained one up with three holes left to play. It looked like after Rory McIlroy drove the green at 16 that Europe were going to win that, but Patrick Cantlay held a huge putt. And then at 17 and 18, Pat Cantlay hit a magnificent tee shot at the par 3 17th. He made birdie there, and then down at 18, he did the same again. Sometimes you need a big-time player to step up. Patrick Cantlay has done that for Team USA today, hasn't he, Lee? And he's done it big time. And maybe... has he given the USA a little more than just a glimmer of hope?
Yeah, I think when I look at Patrick Cantlay, I just see him as one of the best clutch putters in the world. And there's nothing more clutch than this. And some of them putts he holds down the stretch under that sort of pressure. I mean, that is just somebody that totally believes in their ability to hold putts. And I think he stood over one putt, which was like 10 feet, and I said, would you want anybody else wanting to putt this? You know, he seemed nerveless. He stood over it. He took his time. And it was probably the smoothest stroke of all. You know, it was a fantastic stroke. And, you know, the guy has done them such a big favour there. I mean, he's, you know, he's like I say, he's not got them right back in it, but he's given them a chance.
Yeah, no hat Pat, because he's not wearing a hat this week. When he held that putt on the 18th, all the American players, all the caddies took off their hats and swirled them around the way the crowd had been doing to Patrick Cantlay as well. It was a very memorable moment. A magical moment as well for Team USA. They haven't had much to cling to so far this week, and their US captain, Zach Johnson, has been speaking about that final match and how he was saying victory in it was crucial.
It's a start. I mean, we still got a mountain to climb right now for obvious reasons. The European team has played awesome the last 2 days. But I love momentum in this game. I love momentum in this tournament in particular. And that's what we're going to lean on. Outside of leaning on each other, it's about carrying that momentum in tomorrow.
It's made his team talk either tonight or when they have dinner or tomorrow before they all go out a little bit easier, hasn't it, Lee?
I think it has. I mean, you know, you look at his vice captains as well, fully experienced guys like Jim Furyk, Davis Love. I think everybody, would you agree with me, Rob? Everybody would love a Lazabel to go into that room to try and sort them out tonight. I just look at a Lazabel as like the guy they send into the room, and he has the team chat, and they come out firing the next day. But you know what the Americans are like? They are still, although they have friendships within their friendship groups, you know, the Europeans just seem to be more of a team, easier to talk to in general.
Yeah, we heard from Zach Johnson. For Luke Donald, I mean, he'd have taken this lead, Robert, wouldn't he, at the start of the week going into Sunday?
This is a dream. You're going to lose a session somewhere. I know it's the fourth session before you get to the singles with the big lead. But he takes a five-point lead into the singles, and he's got the world's number 2, 3, and 4 to go out there and get him a European point. He's going to feel very good about the way things have panned out. He's got the big home crowd advantage. It's all there for the Europeans to beat the Americans tomorrow.
Now, quickly from you, Lee first. Can you see anything other than a European win?
I can't, no. I just think our big players this week are playing too well. I think it'll be a big win.
5 points is the advantage, Robert. Are you going along with Lee on that too?
It's hard to argue against the players that we've got at the top end of the draw. They're going to be too much for the Americans. But I do think, wait for an American recovery. I think there's something's coming.
Yeah, well, the fight back has begun, hasn't it? That's what happened on day two of this 2023 Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup Radio will be back with all the Sunday action from 10:30 in the morning. You can listen on RyderCup.com and the official Ryder Cup app, as well as around the course on the official headsets available here at Marco Simone. Plus, there's the very podcast at the each of every day, so make sure you subscribe. You won't miss any of the episodes of the official Ryder Cup podcast brought to you by City.